We're all about numbers and data and research. If you visit our website, you can find a section with resources, data that we have compiled with partners at Stanford University, at a variety of different foundations with the Hobby Center, School of Public Policy, and others. On that note, let's talk about some of the data. Our newest partner, folks from McKinsey. Andrea, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. So just to introduce myself, I'm Andrea Alexander, a leader in McKinsey's organization practice, and I spend all of my time thinking about people. So that's individuals, organizations, and teams, and how to help them accomplish what no one thought was possible. Culture is a big part of that, and making sure that there's an inclusive culture so that people feel comfortable bringing their full selves to work. I've been with McKinsey for over a decade, and for the past 6 years, I've been focused on part of my time on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and just want to share some grounding thoughts or facts for us that will help influence the conversation going forward. I'm going to share my screen now and walk you through some materials that will be helpful. So first, just to ground us as a reminder, there's real benefits to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's worth commenting on the fact that diversity is all about representation, and a lot of organizations focus there. But at the end of the day, you also need to make sure that you have an inclusive environment so that people actually want to remain in your organization, and also have really thought about how to create an equitable environment where there's an equal access to opportunity. There's, as you can see on this page, different reasons why diversity, equity, and inclusion are important. The one that I'll highlight here is really around increased customer insight and innovation. When we have more diverse teams, we are able to really be more thoughtful about the products that we decide to offer and how we reach our customers. There's also a real increased focus on global image and kind of having this license to operate and an expectation that within an organization, you've created a more inclusive, equitable environment. There's also real data that shows that diverse organizations are more likely to outperform their peers. So there's a financial benefit to diversity, especially in the top team, because that's what we've been able to quantify. Here, what you'll see is that more ethnically diverse organizations have, we found, are 33% more likely to outperform their peers. And the benefit associated with gender diversity is 24%. I think it's really interesting here that there's more of an uptick that you get when it comes to ethnic diversity. And my hypothesis is that part of that's because historically, a lot of organizations have focused on gender diversity and started to move the needle. But those that have really gotten ethnic diversity right are seeing an even bigger impact because it's something that others haven't focused on yet. Now, let's talk more specifically about the financial industry and Hispanics in particular. So there's some good news to share that's good to orient ourselves on. So first, Fortune 1000 companies, we've seen a 3% increase in the number that have at least one Latino director on their board over the last year. So that's good news, right? We're making progress in the right direction. We also have almost 70% of senior leaders say that ethnic diversity is a high personal priority. So people are seeing the value and saying that this is something they want to focus on going forward. We've also seen a real increase, almost 35%, in Hispanic and Latino business owners from 2009 to 2019. And then finally, 61% of Hispanic and Latino individuals compared to 41% of people and 52% of Black people are really increasing their share of the talent pool. So we're seeing an increased share of Hispanics and Latinos when it comes to the talent pool, which is also great. Now, the story is not all rosy, though. So first, only 2% of C-suite executives in financial services are Hispanic and Latino. And the 2% number is small in itself, but I like to think about our fair share. And given the fact that 18% of the U.S. population is Hispanic or Latino, you would expect it to be or want it to be on par to that. So we still have a gap to really close there. There's also a real economic or wealth gap that we see compared to white Americans. And so finding ways to close that economic gap or that wealth gap will be very important. We also find that almost 80% of Latinos say that they are not able to bring their full selves to work, right? They're repressing part of who they are when they're in the job. What that means is you're not getting the best of all of your people, right? And you're not getting the best, you're not having your teams make the best decisions because people are second guessing whether they should say what's really on their mind. And 63% of Hispanics and Latinos do not feel welcomed or included at work, right? And so this is something that we really have an opportunity to help shape and change going forward, but it's going to take real deliberate action, and not only from the leaders in the organization, but make sure that this is also a priority from the top all the way down to the front line. So I will stop there.
So Andrea, thank you for that information. We're going to continue with the dialogue, but from your perspective, specifically as you looked at the data, what are two things that the banks on these calls could do that might have a very immediate impact?
Yeah, so two things. So one, I would say really focus on data, right? A lot of times organizations create priorities around diversity, equity, and inclusion based off of, I think this would be good. I think this would have a lot of impact. But when you look at the data, you may find, oh, we should focus somewhere else. Specific example, a lot of organizations focus on recruiting. Let's get more people into the organization that are Hispanic or Latino. But actually, if you look at the data, you actually might see that, you know, entry level, we actually do have a lot of Hispanics and Latinos and diverse talent, but promotions is actually where we need to focus more. And so when you look at the data, you'll be able to see where will we able to move the needle the most with our initiatives. And often it is the promotions and promotions from entry level to that first manager position, that if you can get more diverse talent through that, what we refer to as broken rung, then that will fix a lot of your problem and you'll continue to see them progress throughout the funnel. That would be one. Two would be, this needs to be more than just a, this is the initiative we're going to implement, go do it, and a real change around mindsets and behaviors. You have to understand that a lot of what people are doing now that may influence a less inclusive culture is because of a mindset that they have that they may not even realize, an unconscious bias there. And so really focusing on how do we get each individual to improve or shift their mindsets and behaviors when it comes to diverse talent, and actually acknowledge the fact that they may have some unconscious biases to confront is very important.